And so our scripture is from Luke 2, chapters 41 to 52, about Jesus in his childhood. One of the only stories in the actual Bible about the childhood of Jesus and not just his birth and ministry. Listen for the word of God. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, to the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among his relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In some old paintings of Mary and the baby Jesus, mother and child, you might notice something unsettling. That the baby Jesus looks like a tiny adult man. Just a little middle-aged baby. And though some people are willing to dismiss it by saying, well, a lot of old art just looks strange, maybe that was the style, art historians disagree. It's not as if the painters had never seen a baby before. No, sometimes they painted an adult baby on purpose. There was a desire to make it look as if he came from the womb as a miniature adult, as if he were a child, only in size, and in every other way, was fully mature. Thinking of him as an adult baby lets you skip over the idea of young Jesus, of Jesus with some growing up to do. The weird question of what does the union of God and human look like in a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 12-year-old. There are even old medieval songs of Jesus in the manger talking back to Mary, kind of like one of those babies in the unsettling insurance commercials, you know, where they use computers to make him talk with the voice of a middle-aged New Jersey man. The song version of adult baby Jesus gives speeches on the suffering of the world and the place of God in it. Big words for a baby. But Jesus grew in wisdom and in years, says the Gospel of Luke. He had a human mind that learned as human minds do. Even in its total contact with God, his unity with God did not mean he skipped a step of humanity. of learning and growing. No adult babies here. His parents had to take care of a child who was really a child, with all the vulnerabilities that means, all the passage of time, all the worries. And so his very human parents tried to nurture him and help him grow in who he was, his connection with God and with the other people around him. And they tried every year, once they could, to take him to the temple for the festival of Passover, to let him see the center of his people's faith, to be a part of it, the thronging crowds, the incense smoke, the priests in their office of worship. And they gave him some freedom to go about with family and friends, the kind you can give a responsible 12-year-old. And so they're headed home after the festivities in their group of pilgrims and friends, not thinking too much of it, not really checking in because it doesn't occur to them. And then that moment a lot of parents have had in one way or another. I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. And then, oh no. And then panic. We just lost our child, you know, the Messiah. 12-year-old alone in a strange city with all sorts of people in it. This family has once fled a genocidal king together and gone as refugees into Egypt. But at least they knew where he was then. And now they don't. And the panic mixes with anger because he was not where he was supposed to be. And they get to just live with that for a little while because they've walked all day toward home and there's no one they can call, no way to call. They just get to be panicked and furious a whole day's journey back and then a whole third day of searching once they get there. Thinking maybe he's cold and sleeping in an alley somewhere. Thinking, why have my parents forsaken me? Thinking all sorts of things can happen to a kid in the city alone. Thinking. And then they go to the temple. And he's there on his third day of cheerily questioning the teachers. And he's fine. He's fine. And with the panic relieved, the anger comes right out, and Jesus is getting yelled at by his parents. We are really disappointed in you, Jesus. We were worried sick. Why didn't you even try to find us? What were you thinking? Can't you see how panicked you made us? Why weren't you where you were supposed to be? And his answer back is, I am where I'm supposed to be. He says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? But it says they don't quite understand what he's getting at there. It must be one of those moments of parental vertigo, when you realize how at some point a child wants different things than the parent wants for them. How parents have a responsibility, but they're not in control. How he's their child, but he ultimately does not belong to them. They're stewards and caretakers of who he is. And maybe they thought God's calling on him was something he would grow into later. What he would be when he grew up, when he could decide things for himself. But it turns out, it starts before that. Back when I was spending time in a monastery, I asked a lot of monks a lot of questions. During times I probably was not supposed to be talking beyond the functional. You know, you're supposed to have this deep, serious focus on God, even in work. But I was new there, and they humored me, and I wanted to hear their stories, because I figured No one ends up just accidentally a monk. There has to be a story there. And there was. And a lot of them would tell me how some hitchhiked across the country or came out of the army after World War II seeking something until they found what it was. Or maybe it was just a chance encounter with monks as a teenager or after the implosion of a career. But there was one. And I was helping him prepare dinner, chopping celery for some kind of soup. And I asked when he felt the call. And he said, "I was 7. And the Sunday school teacher was reading about Saint Dominic. And I just remember thinking I knew what I wanted from my life was just to keep God company. Just to keep God company." Obviously, his calling took full shape later. And maybe someone else would just read that as his first foreshadowing, that his real calling was the one he received in maturity. But that's the place he pointed to as the hinge on which his whole life swung. God's calling was already there, even then. We have a tendency to treat kids like they're only possible adults, like everything that really matters is far ahead of them, their future. You see it in schools, how much of their time is devoted solely to the future. You see it in how one of the first questions we ask a kid is, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And we almost never ask, "Who do you want to be right now?" Sure, children learn and grow and change. That's a part of being a child. But adults also learn and grow and change. And children are just the ones we tend to treat as if they're only here to become someone else. But God is not just interested in who a child will grow up to be. God is interested in who they are already. People will change and grow, but God is not waiting for that to happen to draw close. God is already drawing close. I think of the teachers at the temple, and some poor kid who talks with a northern accent comes in from Galilee somewhere, you think, and maybe he sleeps there on the corner, and maybe they wonder if he's homeless. And he seems to catch on quick, the kid, like he's paying attention to every word. Maybe the kid's even a little spooky, like there's something else going on behind his eyes. But the kid seems strangely at home in the temple, with its pillars and the smoke from its altars, with crowds of people surging in and out, making their ablutions and offerings. And the teachers do their best to answer the kid's questions. And he just keeps asking more and more, maybe for hours, even days. Just this precocious kid filling with all the talk of God he can get in the temple. And whatever you can say about the teacher's miracle of miracles, they just keep answering this kid. They keep talking to him, even for days. Maybe it's curiosity about how perceptive his questions are. Maybe it's kindness, or just because they're teachers, and that's what teachers do. But something there seems to have clicked. There where he was welcomed as a child. There he seems to have been dwelling with the God who he calls Father. A name which seems to surprise his parents. And there he is meeting the depths of himself. "Of course I was here. this is where I'm supposed to be. And the parents come around too, eventually. Somehow on the walk home, Mary goes from how could you do this to us to treasuring these things in her heart. She has her worries still, I'm sure. And many more worries to come as Jesus grew in wisdom and in years. And I wonder if Jesus thought of those young days later when he kicked over the tables of temple moneylenders as if they were wounding something sacred. And I wonder if he thought of that day on another when his distraught disciples sought a Jesus who had been gone 3 days. And he showed up in a flash of life as if nothing was wrong, saying to them, "Why are you looking in a tomb? Don't you know I am where I'm supposed to be?" And I suspect he thought of those temple days as he taught the crowds. And the children pushed past the legs of the disciples and got up close to see and to ask. And the disciples moved to push them back and keep order, keep quiet, keep them from climbing all over their leader. But he called the children closer and said, "Let the children come. Let them come. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these."